Charles Paris, A Deadly Habit. Episode 3.
Two things give me an adrenaline rush. First nights and sniffing out criminality. The former was still a way off, but snooping around Brendan's drinking den, I'd found a tiny camera containing covert footage from Lydia's dressing room shortly before she died. The game was afoot. Then again, I still hadn't had lunch, and I can't think on an empty stomach.
And a panino with a spicy salami, provolone cheese, funghi and carciofi marinate. Anything else?
Some tomato, rocket, a splash of your homemade pesto and a drizzle of olive oil.
That it?
Will anything else fit?
If you can fit it in your mouth, I can fit it in the bread.
In that case, I'll have a few slices of Parma ham just to finish off.
I think we're going to need a bigger bag.
Like a Soho hunter-gatherer clutching my kill, I turned into Frith Street in search of a peaceful corner to eat al fresco and see what else was on the stage doorman's camera.
Whoa there!
A flash of red bandana, a whoosh of slipstream, and I was damn nearly felled by a man-boy riding an overgrown kid's toy.
Don't ring your bell at me and get off the pavement!
Without turning round, he raised a tattooed finger and accelerated away, leaving me to wonder if death by e-scooter would have been divine retribution for me lying to the police. I grabbed a recently vacated bench and nearly dislocated my jaw on a panino the size of the Apennines. With olive oily fingers, I fished the camera from my pocket.
Well, well, If it isn't Brother Benedict, shouldn't you be rehearsing at the Monastery of Miseries?
I'm stockpiling vitamin D before I have to go back into a windowless theatre.
Stockpiling carbs by the look of that sarnie.
It's not a sarnie, it's a religious experience, and I'm in a state of grace.
Schaffernacker threatened rain.
Schaffernacker was wrong.
Oh, in that case, I'll join you.
Fastidious as ever, Morris spread a paper napkin on the bench, rubbed anti-bac into his hands, then opened a plastic box of what looked like miniature Doll's House nibbles.
Yum, yum. Yummity yum.
If you like canapes for lunch.
This is a bento box of delights. Oh, this is nice. Food always tastes better outdoors, don't you think? Charles?
Sorry, what?
You seem preoccupied, my son. Is there something you need to get off your chest? Think of this bench as a confessional.
When you phoned to say there'd been an accident at the theatre, I already knew.
Why didn't you say anything?
Because I shouldn't have been there at the time. You see, I'd taken some food back to my dressing room.
And drink?
Maybe.
Definitely.
A bit.
So a lot.
Anyway, I fell asleep.
Drifted into a stupor.
How do I turn off the simultaneous translation?
Carry on. You fell asleep.
I woke up when Francis rang asking me to buy Gorgonzola, the extra creamy
one. Is the type
one.
Of cheese strictly relevant to the story?
It is, because the very thought of it made me nauseous and sent me running downstairs.
Stop now.
What? Why?
If I'm called as a character witness, the less I know the better. But I've got contacts. I'll ask around.
Ask what? Ask who?
Lawyers.
Lawyers?
I'll be discreet. But at least we'll get an idea of sentencing tariffs for manslaughter.
What?
You might get away with accidental death.
What?
I assume in your retching rush to get out, you knocked poor Lydia downstairs.
No!
Then what are you kvetching about?
Well, it's possible I might have accidentally lied to the police.
What?
I panicked. You know the way coppers think.
Actually, I don't, and nor do you. I'm an agent. I know how actors think.
Trust me, they'd have put two and two together and come up with me drunk standing over a body.
So what did you do?
I heard sober grown-ups coming, so I kept out of the way.
You mean you hid?
I let them get on with
it.
You
mean you did nothing?
As soon as I knew things were under control, I left.
You mean you ran away?
This simultaneous translation's really starting to annoy me.
If you were innocent, why flee the scene?
If I'd have stayed, the police would have got suspicious.
If they weren't suspicious before, they will be when they see you on CCTV.
Fortunately, the camera inside the stage door is broken and the one outside's been vandalised.
Lucky for you.
Actually, it is a bit of a coincidence now I come to think about it.
What about the stage doorman?
I suppose he could have sabotaged.
No, I meant he must have seen you leave.
Oh, he wasn't there.
Well, if there's no CCTV and nobody saw you, you're in the clear, so why worry?
Because of this.
What is that? A camera?
One of those little ones narcissistic adrenaline junkies use to film themselves just before the bungee snaps and they plunge to their death.
Nice to have a memento for the kids. Where'd you get it?
Hidden up a chimney.
I could ask.
It looked like it was shoved up in a hurry, wrapped in a plastic bin liner. It belongs to Brendan.
The stage doorman?
Yes.
Who wasn't at the stage door when Lydia fell downstairs?
Exactly.
Is he the extreme sports type?
He's a bottle of vodka before breakfast type.
How is the view from the glass house?
The reason he wasn't at the stage door is because he's got a secret hidey hole where he sneaks off for a crafty drink. No one knows it's there.
You do?
Because he took me up there.
He took you up the hidey hole?
Morris.
I grew up on Round the Horn.
He's also a terrible hoarder of junk, so when he went for a pee, I had a poke around and found the camera with gaffer tape stuck to it.
So you found this camera and stole it?
Borrowed.
With Brendan's permission?
Not as such.
Then you stole it.
How I acquired it is not the point.
What is the point?
The point is you're missing the point.
Which is?
What's on the camera.
And?
Lydia.
Photos.
Video.
If this was a play, I'd call that pathetic fallacy.
Or dramatic cliché.
Have you watched the video?
Not properly.
Ugh, looks like Schaffernacker was right. Come back to the office for coffee and a screening.
I'm just sitting watching flowers in the rain.
Ten minutes later, we were sipping espresso and squinting at the tiny LCD. The first clip was brief. Door opens, Lydia dumps bag, leaves room, screen goes black. The camera must have been linked to some sort of sensor. When it came back on, Lydia entered in a monk's habit.
That costume's five sizes too big.
In the play, she steals it from one of the brothers.
She wore that going downstairs. No wonder she fit... Hello, what's this?
She opens the door to another monk.
Who's that?
I can't tell under the cowl.
She's pleased to see him.
He's pleased to see her.
Oh, dear.
Lydia shuts and locks door, then pushes man onto couch.
You know, there are laws against this.
They're consenting adults.
I mean us. This was obviously made for personal consumption.
Yeah, but whose?
Theirs.
I don't think so.
I heard a piece on Woman's Hour. You'd be surprised.
This is something else.
Like you're an expert.
The camera must have been somewhere up near the ceiling.
Yeah, it's an odd angle.
And look at them.
It's difficult not to.
I don't think they know they're being filmed.
I must say, I'm impressed he's managed to keep his hood up.
Morris.
Blame Kenneth Williams.
It's got to be the stage doorman.
You think that's him, dressed as a monk?
Not the one in the video. Lydia have to be pretty desperate. No, he must have planted the camera for his own kicks and then... Mice.
Where?
Biscuits.
Are you having a stroke?
After Lydia's accident, I saw Brendan coming out of a dressing room with a bin liner. He said there'd been a rodent problem and the police had given him the OK to clear any food she'd left.
Oh, yeah. You think he had the camera in the bin liner?
That's where it was when I found it. Gaffer tape!
The king of non-sequiturs strikes again.
Have you noticed the colour of Lydia's room?
I can't say the interior decor's at the centre of my attention.
Look at it now.
It's a rather outre pink.
Not pink. Hawaiian peach.
Well, either way, it's clashing with the monk's buttocks.
The gaffer tape that was in the bin liner had the same colour paint where it had been ripped off the wall.
Ossian the Night Warrior.
Now who's king of the non-sequiturs?
The tattoo. When Warlock Wars went into its fifth season, Kid Astley was interviewed in Variety and said he'd had his character's coat of arms inked on his right buttock. Oh, it's Frances. I'll put her on speaker. How's my favourite author?
Is this a bad time?
Just watching a sex tape with your semi-detached husband.
I suppose you've got to keep the spark alive in your bromance.
It's not our sex tape.
Oh, louder, Charles. I think my PA may have missed it. And what can I do for you, Frances?
You left a message to call.
I did? Oh, yes, I did. Look, I hope you don't mind, but I took the liberty of showing your manuscript to a literary agent I know, and she wants to meet you.
Seriously?
Oh, don't go opening any bottles of champagne just yet.
I owe you big time.
Well, if anything comes of it, you can cook me one of your delicious meals.
You're on.
When Charles leaves, I'll email you her details.
Perfect. I'll let you get back to your sex tape.
I think we've seen enough. Say bye-bye, Charles.
Bye-bye, Charles. Yeah. Well, I'd better let you get back to managing the careers of actors more successful than me.
Any actor working successful these days?
That's true.
What are you going to do with the camera?
I hadn't thought about that.
If it was planted by Brendan, he's broken the law, possibly several.
I could put it back where I found it.
It's evidence.
Oh.
Evidence which is now covered in your greasy fingerprints.
Ah.
This is what happens when you play detective.
The rain had stopped, and the newly washed pavements filled the warm air with the smell of petrichor. Turning a corner, I saw the regular huddle of three Warlock fans at the stage door, a coven of cosplay witches waiting for Justin Grover or Kit Astley.
Is Kit in there?
I really couldn't say.
Well, if he is, will you tell him we're out here?
Yeah, sure. Now, mind your cauldrons.
Groupie's still out there.
I'm not sure we say that anymore, Brendan.
No? Oh, can't keep up.
They're waiting for Kit.
Oh, he's not back from lunch. Poor old Justin.
Justin's far from poor, and he's hardly old.
He's older than Kit.
I doubt he cares that Kit gets all the attention.
I would, if I was a leading man in a big telly series like Warlock Wars.
With his boozer's skin and battered nose, I tried to imagine a blockbusting TV series Brendan would headline. Maybe The Great British Piss-Up.
No, sorry, not today. I'm running late.
Kit looked flushed and bothered, his face as red as his posh boy does street bandana.
You wouldn't believe it.
What's up?
I've only had my e-scooter seized. Some bored Jobsworth copper tried to find me, and when I kicked off, he confiscated it.
Where were you riding it?
Up Frith Street.
Towards Soho Square?
Yeah.
That's one way.
The road is, I was on the pavement. I tell you, bro, this country's turning into a police state.
The police should arrest him for calling me bro.
Yeah. So, where'd you disappear to then? I come back from the lab. You scarpered.
I had to meet my agent.
Well, if you fancy another drink sometime, you know how to find Brendan's bar.
Yeah, thank you.
Since our pre-prandial cooking vodka, I was still his new best friend, so presumably he didn't know I'd taken his camera.
Right, better brace myself for the great climb.
Don't forget your key,
oh,
Charles.
Cheers.
I took a deep breath and started the ascent of K2.
Charles Paris, a.k.a. the Panther Gentleman Thief.
Is that the same gentleman thief who lies to the Metropolitan Police?
Didn't take Morris long to grass me up. So much for the agent's sacramental code of confidentiality.
He didn't grass you up.
Well, he snitched to you.
Because you not only lied to him, you also lied to me and the police.
Actually, I didn't say anything to you two, so strictly speaking, I didn't lie to either of you.
Don't get sophistic on my ass, Panther.
That's Mr. Panther to you.
Why is Mr. Panther out of breath? Actually, do I want to know?
They've put me in a dressing room so high, pilots use it as a landmark heading into Heathrow. Let me call you back when I've made a cup of tea and grabbed a defibrillator.
Got your tea?
Sipping as we speak.
Liar.
What?
You didn't have time to brew up.
I didn't say what I was sipping.
More sophistry.
Okay, I'm sorry I didn't tell you about the accident.
Did you really think they'd accuse you of murder?
You know what they're like.
You watch way too much TV crime drama.
Practically all TV dramas crime drama.
And they're not doing you any good.
It would be if I was in any of them.
Talk to Morris about that. But this is real life, and every time someone stubs a toe, you start looking for sinister motives.
Lydia didn't stub a toe, she died.
I know.
And sometimes I find sinister motives.
And sometimes people fall downstairs.
Unless she didn't fall.
Why do I bother?
I'm just positing.
Well, don't.
Allow me to posit one idea.
Only if you stop saying posit.
What if I told you I've got evidence that proves something odd's going on at the Afra?
What evidence? What proof?
And so I told her about Brendan and the camera and the covert sex tape.
Okay, that is odd.
I thought you'd poo-poo my theory that Brendan's been up to no good.
You found what appears to be secretly shot footage of two actors screwing in a dressing room. I'm not poo-pooing something that weird and creepy, not to mention illegal.
Exactly.
Unless...
When I said unless, you groaned, but it's okay for you.
If the patriarchy would let me finish a sentence.
The patriarchy apologises, carry on.
What if Brendan didn't put the camera there?
You think Lydia?
Sex tapes aren't the sole preserve of men. I heard a piece on Woman's
Zone. Yeah, so did Morris.
Not all ice cream's vanilla.
Ice cream?
Other flavours are available.
Of ice cream?
Of sex! Are you being deliberately obtuse?
I wasn't, but now I really want an ice cream.
Partly ice cream. And consider the possibility that Lydia videoed herself with Kit for personal consumption.
Two things. One, it didn't look like either of them knew they were being filmed.
Actors are used to performing in front of cameras. What's point two?
How come the camera ended up stuffed inside a chimney in Brendan's secret drinking room?
That does throw a different light
With time on my hands, I went in search of Kit. I can't say I'd planned how to instigate a conversation about sex tapes, but sometimes it's better not to overthink and just wing it.
Are you threatening me?
I stayed put and listened.
Yeah, well, I know people who chew up. Spit you out.
It was definitely Brendan, and coming from somewhere on the floor below.
So back off and leave me alone!
By the time I sneaked down to the corridor beneath me, he'd gone. He must have been in one of the dressing rooms, but whose?
Ow!
The noise came from what had been Lydia's room.
You all right in there?
Who's that?
Charles.
Oh, hang on. I'm just trying to get out of this.
Okay.
Stupid costume. I caught my foot in the hem and went flying.
She was holding a monk's habit rolled into a bundle.
It's so big on me, it's dangerous. I'm going to ask wardrobe to shorten it.
You moved in then?
Hmm?
This room.
Oh, yeah, Justin talked me into it.
Oh.
I said I may as well enjoy the perks of the job. Ah, time, I'm late. You couldn't do me a favour, could you, Charles? The window's open to clear the smell of paint, but if it rains...
Well, leave it to me.
As she raced off, I called after...
And careful on those stairs!
I will be!
I could see why Alice kept the window open with the migraine-inducing smell of Hawaiian peach still hanging in the air. There was a sad clump of tinsel high on the wall, tied round the water pipes where they disappeared into the ceiling, dragging an old bent-back chair. I perched on the rickety seat and peered from tinsel to couch. It was the same angle from the video. Stretching precariously, I reached up and pushed the tinsel along the pipes. There was a patch of bare plaster where the paint had been stripped off.
Charles! Oh, where did you come from?
Winchester.
No, I mean...
Oh, right, yeah, I saw the door was open. What the hell were you doing up there?
Alice asked me to close her window.
The window's on the other side of the room. Come on, mate.
Oh.
Let's get you back to your room. There you go.
Thanks.
Ooh, you got blood on your hand.
Yeah, I must have grazed it on something.
I'll fetch a plaster.
It's nothing.
You should clean it.
If you open that drawer, there should be a bottle of...
Scotch.
Is there? Well, that'll do the trick. Just pour some on the cut. There, disinfected.
Maybe you should have a drink for the shock.
Settle the nerves. Not a bad idea. There's a glass if you...
No, I'm good, thanks.
That's better. Sit down.
You're lucky you didn't break anything.
Escorting me to my room, he'd saved me the trouble of engineering a difficult chat. All I had to do was instigate the subject.
Why were you standing on a chair?
I was looking for something.
On the ceiling?
Near the ceiling.
Did you find it?
Sort of.
Oh, cryptic.
Crossword addict, everything's a clue.
To what?
Exactly.
Oh, cryptic again.
That's me, a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma.
No ambiguity with me. What you see is what you get. Never seen the point of saying one thing when you mean another. Just cut to the chase.
There's a lot to be said for it.
So, what was it?
What was what?
The thing you sort of found near the ceiling.
Oh, it's more what I didn't find.
More riddles.
Sorry, it's like a nervous tick.
So, this thing you didn't find...
Paint.
Not with you.
Or rather, lack of paint on the wall in Lydia's room.
But the room is painted.
Yeah, but...
Done out in that hideous pink.
I know, but...
Would have given me a migraine if I hadn't kept my eyes shut most of the time.
Yeah, but the thing... Sorry? What?
What?
You said you kept your eyes shut?
Yeah, when we were... You know.
I'd seen the video. I did know. But he didn't know I knew.
So you mean you and Lydia were...
Oh, yeah. A lot. Like a lot.
Kit said he was straightforward. I just wasn't expecting him to be that straightforward.
Do you mind if I ask...
Anything you like.
Was it a serious relationship?
Relationship? It wasn't a relationship. It was not like love or anything.
All right.
Just fun.
Fun.
You remember fun?
Yeah, I know what fun is.
I bet you do. Back in the day. Hey, bro.
Was this fun for both of you?
I hope so.
You're sure Lydia wasn't more serious than you?
Because she's a woman. It's the 21st century, not one rule for boys and one rule for the girls. Lydia was up for it, I was up for it, it was...
Fun.
Right. We were having a laugh, not planning a wedding.
Just as well, she was still married.
As far as she was concerned, that was over.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, but the husband was in denial, sounding like one of those emotionally needy types.
The more I heard about Lydia's emotionally needy husband, the more I wondered why he wanted to talk to me.
So, what was all that about no paint in Lydia's room?
If you look up high, there's a patch of bare plaster where the paint's come away.
So?
I happen to know that someone had gaffer-taped a camera to that wall.
You mean there's a sex tape floating around out there?
Don't know about floating around.
But I'm in it.
Afraid so.
Why afraid? Unless you put it there.
Me? No.
But you've seen it?
Yes.
How'd I look?
Look?
Yeah.
Well, the lighting and production values aren't exactly professional, but
how do I come out of it?
I'd say you look vigorous.
Vigorous sounds all right.
Your face is out of shot underneath the monk's hood, but you can make out the tattoo.
That's okay, then. I'll tell my PR, and if it goes viral, they'll either deny everything or know how to spin it. Never know. Might even be good for my profile.
Really?
I wonder what perv put the camera there in the first place.
I don't suppose Lydia...
No, not her thing at all.
Mr. Astley, to the stage, please.
That's me.
Mr. Astley, to
don't go falling off any more chairs.
Kit seemed completely untroubled by the existence of the sex tape, and I saw no reason for him to wish Lydia any harm. Needing to think, I headed downstairs, and as I wandered, I pondered. Lydia had bad-mouthed Derbler's play, but that's no motive for murder. Then there was the husband, but if it's a crime to be emotionally needy, guilty as charged. The finger of suspicion kept coming back to Brendan, creep and voyeur. Yes, but did that also make him a killer?
I think it's up here.
Can I help you?
Yeah, Kit said it's all
right.
Are
you sure?
Yeah, he said.
How did you get in?
Struck by a cauldron and poked by a besom, I gave chase, but by the time I got to the stage door, they'd gone, and once again, Brendan was nowhere to be seen. I bolted the door from the inside and went through the wings to the auditorium.
OK, just resetting, then we'll go from the top of the scene. Who's hammering?
The director was walking that fine line between creativity and a nervous collapse.
Can we please lose the hammering?
Alice was on stage. 24 hours ago, she was Lydia's understudy. Now, she was staring into the jaws of her West End debut.
Oh, what have I missed? Oh. Major jump.
I didn't see you in the dark.
Mind if I join you?
In truth, it wasn't that dark, and despite her shyness, Derbler went in for extravagant outfits, so I couldn't really miss the six-foot playwright.
Think what they charge for these seats.
Today, she was dressed like a Frida Kahlo tribute act.
My God, you Georgians must have had short legs and tiny arses.
The fumes alone should have alerted me to her presence. Citrus, juniper, assorted botanicals. Derbler Brody was a gin drinker. A full-time, professional gin drinker, going by the combustibility of her breath.
Oh, peppermint?
Thanks.
How's Alice shaping up?
I haven't seen much yet.
Oh, she'll be fine.
A West End debut's a lot of pressure.
Oh, I just hope I can handle it. This is my first show in town in 10 years, not before time.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Must help Justin putting his weight behind it.
Oh, you've no idea. It's like a gift from heaven. I was on the verge of remortgaging my house just to get it staged.
Isn't there a golden rule?
I never back your own productions. But I needed to get this play on, and I really needed to work. And then Justin stepped in, and everything changed.
With so much riding on the play, it was no wonder she was less than thrilled when Lydia bad-mouthed it.
So, remember, the second you hit the mark, the spot hits you, then bang, straight at the audience.
Got it.
Okay, music.
They say, what's that thing they say about the devil? Detail, yeah. It's in the detail, yeah, but it ain't detail.
As a homeless runaway taking refuge with troubled monks, Alice shook and trembled in the blinding spotlight, stuttering and stammering with traumatized authenticity. According to the publicity, Faith was ambitious, uncompromising, gritty and hard-hitting, an important story that had to be told. to an audience sipping 20 quid glasses of Pinot Grigio while they wonder whether to eat two or three courses after the show.
All these men who think they're different, special, and I think so too. At least I want to think they're not like the others. Men like this one.
Alice turned to a patch of light.
Men like this one.
Oh, for pity's sake.
Men like this one.
Where's Kit? Has anyone seen...
I'm coming.
Where were you?
Yeah, I'll tell you where I was.
Why are you in the store?
Because some idiot locked the stage door. That's why.
Kelly, can you get Brendan?
Yep.
Why were you even outside?
During the last break, I nipped out for a quick vape.
Kit!
It was only supposed to be a quickie. Then when I came back, the door was locked, so I had to go around the block to front of house where a bloody security guard, who's never watched Warlock, tried to stop me until I showed him a bit of me in season one from my phone.
He's not there.
Who?
Brendan, he's not in his office.
Oh, for God's sake! This is supposed to be the West End and it's like amateur night!
There was only one place Brendan might be, so I slipped out of the auditorium and made my way up through the labyrinth to the narrow wood-panelled passage with the secret hidden door.
Brendan! Brendan! Are you in there?
I pushed and the heavily varnished panel gave way. The room was in complete darkness, the atmosphere still redolent of sweat and alcohol, indicating that he'd been there recently. I fumbled around for a light switch.
Oh, no. Brendan?
The cluttered room was even more messed up than before. The doorman sprawled on his back.
Brendan!
He was unconscious. Next to him, an empty litre of cheap vodka, one hand still clutching the grubby bin liner I'd pulled out of the chimney.
Oh, Brendan.
If he'd discovered the camera was missing, he'd have known the game was up. The colour of Brendan's face told me this was one binge that wasn't going to end in a hangover, hair of the dog, and a fryer.
In A Deadly Habit, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Kit was Joseph Eyre, Brendan, Jonathan Kidd, Alice, Eleanor Coleman, Nina, Marilyn Nadabay, and Dervla, Jane Slavin. A Deadly Habit was written by Jeremy Front from the book by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Avens.